Morena. Should start with a joke. Jacob, do you know one? Where's he gone? Oh, turn it on. Do you know a joke? You always got one. Sorry? What's the pirate's favourite letter?
It's not R.
Seize their first love. Seize their first love. Maybe I shouldn't have gone there, actually, to be honest. I did ask for it. I did. R, but seize their first love. Oh, how ridiculous is that? Thank you, Jacob. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In Luke we have this, that one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "Well, when you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Prayer is one of those Christian disciplines, to be honest, I have struggled with for years. When to do it? When to fit it in? What to pray? What do I say? When's the best time? And quite often I've really have put it in the too hard basket and have relied on short one-sentence prayers in the midst of the chaos of the day. And in doing so, I have missed the richness that can come with prayer. See, prayer is a way that God has guided people throughout history. And it was the disciples who recognized the power of prayer, because every time that Jesus separated himself and went away and prayed, when he came back from those times, they saw the power that Jesus had because he had spent time with the Father. And so we see in Luke, the disciples say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, they'd seen Jesus do miracles. They'd heard Jesus teach. But they never asked him, "Lord, teach us how to perform miracles." And they never asked, "Lord, teach us how to become great teachers." What they asked was, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray so that we can experience the power of being in the presence of the living God, and how that can restore us and renew us and make us strong. Teach us to pray." Now, a bit of a side note. In Matthew 6, prayer is one of the three Christian disciplines that we are to do in secret. Giving to the poor, prayer and fastings. For the Pharisees, these were made a show, that if they were to give, they made sure that everybody knew they were giving. If they were fasting, they would be downtrodden and sober and made sure that everybody knew that they were fasting. And when they prayed, they got into the temple and they would raise their hands and say in loud voices their prayers so that everybody would know that they were praying. But for Jesus, he said to them, it's not how you look on the outside that counts, it's what's happening on the inside. And so he says, for these things, when you pray, go to your closet. When you fast, look normal, like you are not fasting. And when you give, don't let people know. The secret things. Now, the question about the Lord's Prayer. Firstly, is it a complete prayer that I should use regularly as presented? Or is it a pattern on how to pray, or is it both? Well, one thing's for sure, it is short. No flowery language, no waffle. It's just 50 words, but it says a lot. Now, I believe that it's both. It's both a prayer that we should pray individually and corporately as a people. At times, the meaning can be lost because we are too familiar with it. And maybe we do need to take the time that when we pray it to just think, what am I saying? But also believe that like the disciples, they didn't come to Jesus and say, teach us a prayer. They came and they said, teach us to pray. So I believe that the Lord's Prayer should be viewed as a pattern to prayer. Now, as I said earlier, I have struggled with prayer. It's hard. It's a hard discipline. My mind wanders. I don't know what to say. I get confused. I get lost. I end up thinking about completely different things. And so for me, the Lord's Prayer has become a guide on how I am to pray. And hopefully this will be helpful for you if you struggle in your prayer times. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Recognizing that God is holy. We worship a holy God. You see, the beginning of the Lord's Prayer begins with worship. It's placing God first above all else. It's acknowledging who he is, how great and awesome our God is. It's a time where we can use the Psalms to bring a sense of praise and worship and honor and glory and majesty to God. Praise be to the Lord, my rock. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will exalt you, O my King. I will praise you forever. It's acknowledging that our God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present. Prayer begins first and foremost with worship of God. But right at the very, very beginning, it starts with our Father. Now, the Jewish people were familiar with the concept of God as their Father, but no one dared address him as such because he was too holy and too exalted and too awesome. He was very much a figurehead title that they gave him. Yes, God is our Father, but we do not particularly acknowledge that as such personally. See, God to them was holy, pure and righteous and untouchable and can only be approached through sacrifice and a mediator. And for that, that was the high priest. But Jesus has become our sacrifice and our mediator, and our high priest. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us approach God's throne in grace and mercy and confidence, so that we may receive the mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's desire, but born of God. Our Father. Our God is not a God who is a vague concept out there. Our God is not a God who is untouchable and unattainable. Our God is a personal God who loves us and holds us. He is our Father, and through Jesus we've been reconciled with him, and we're now children of God. We are in an intimate relationship with God, which is why we can boldly say, our Father. Let me illustrate it this way. In the USA, everyone addresses the president as Mr. President. Even his closest friends and advisors call him Mr. President. The title is an acknowledgement of the power and office and all that it means. When JFK was president, his two young children, Caroline and John Jr., had the run of the White House. And it wasn't uncommon for President Kennedy to be in a meeting and the doors to fly open and for John Jr. to run in and see his dad. Where everyone was calling him Mr. President, John Jr. would jump on JFK's knee and say, "Hi, Dad." See, the Old Testament builds God up as Mr. President, giving us insight into his power and his might and his glory and how holy and righteous that he is, a God who is awesome and all-powerful and to be feared. In the New Testament, through Jesus, we are able to come to this God as loved children and simply say, our Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we need to remember that the Lord's Prayer was part of the Sermon on the Mount. And we know that the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking about his purpose for coming, and that was the kingdom of God. And we, as children of God, need to be concerned about the things that concern God. We need to be concerned about the kingdom of God, about those who are suffering, about injustice, about the poor, about the heartbroken, the blind. This is where I pray for others. It's a time when I lament with God over the things that make him cry. It's a time where I look at local events and international events and the things that are broken and with God cry. Because this is not how it should be. This is a world that is broken. It's a time where I stop and listen to the heartbeat of God and discern what God might be calling me to do today, where I live and work, so that a bit more of heaven may happen now. It's a time where I ask the question, what do you want me to do today that transforms this earth to become a little bit more like heaven? I pray for the needs of others. Give us this day our daily bread. For me, this is twofold. One is, it's a time when I thank God for everything that I have, acknowledging that all that I have has come from him. It is his provision. He is the Father who has provided for me. And I give him thanks. It's also a time where I pray for my own needs, physical, social, emotional. This is a time that is very much a no bar hold time. If I am angry, then I let God know about it. If I am frustrated, then I let God know about it. If I am happy, I let God know about it. If I am depressed, I let him know about it. There is no situation that I do not bring to God at this time. simply because he is my Father and I know he loves me and his desire is to wrap his arms around me. In Matthew he says, this is why I tell you, do not be worried about the food and about drink and what you need in order to stay alive, or about clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food? And isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do not plant seeds, gather a harvest, put it in a barn, yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than them? Can any of you live a bit longer by worrying about it? Is it God who clothes the wild grass, grass that's here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven? Won't he be all the more sure to clothe you? What little faith you have. But I tell you that not even King Solomon, all his wealth, had clothes as beautiful as those of flowers. And why worry about clothes? Look how the Lord has uses wild flowers to grow. They do not work or make clothes for themselves. For your Father knows what you need. All you need to do is ask him. That's what I do in this part of my understanding of the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. This is about right relationships with God and with each other. It very much mirrors the command of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. There is not a day that goes by that we would not be mindful of the forgiveness and grace and compassion of God, for we know the steadfast love of the Lord is new every morning. And so each day, as I start anew, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us in unrighteousness. We're really good at the first part of this part of the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us our sins. It's the second part that we sometimes struggle with. As I forgive others. God wants us to have right relationships with him, and he wants us to have right relationships with others. This is a time where I allow God to say, Lord, who do I need to sort something out with? Who do I need to put right with? Because you see, unforgiveness eats away at the heart. We need to learn how to forgive each other. I see we're coming to communion. And Matthew says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go and be reconciled with them, and then come offer your gift. Therefore, if you are coming to worship and you realize that you have something against your brother and sister, put it right before you come to worship. Put it right. So prayer at this time is to put right those things that are wrong in our relationships, not just to confess our sins. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now we need to be clear, God tempts no one. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when fully grown, gives birth to death. Jesus was tempted by the devil, and it is he who tempts us, putting pressure on our lives that then battles with the spirit within us. And if you want to get an insight into the struggle between our old nature and the new nature that is born within us, then I suggest you read Romans 7 and 8, where Paul talks about wanting to do right, but at times does wrong. Be alert and sober of mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So this time, this part of this prayer, is where I ask for God's protection on my life and those that I love. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. A number of years ago, and this is probably 30 years ago, I had a work colleague who put on and directed and produced a stage show for Francis Douglas and Sacred Heart and asked for me to be involved, which I was happy to do. And at one of the times, they prayed, and so they did the Lord's Prayer. Now, at that time, and I don't know if Catholics still do, they finish at, as we forgive those who forgive us. They finish there. The four Protestants who were in the prayer meeting at the time quite happily continued on, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. This part is actually a bit of an add-on by King James. But I like it. I like it. Because see, you start with worship, and you finish with worship. They're like a good natural bookend to the Lord's Prayer. I also view it as a real beautiful picture of both ends of worship as God's arms wrapped around us who are in the middle. So that's the Lord's Prayer for me. My understanding of it. It has helped me to pray. It gives me direction. It gives me a pattern of prayer. It stops my mind from wandering too far ahead or lagging too far behind. It gives me direction. The Lord's Prayer has taught me how to pray. So let's, together, corporately, recite the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us not take advantage of it, but to give us